real happy Father's Day. Real happy Father's Day. And oftentimes, and I'm sure that there are other people who have this right and think right about this, but of course, we certainly take days and we set them aside to give honor to where honor is due, and we've had Mother's Day, and today is Father's Day. And but I thought this Father's Day, at first I thought that I would not even preach on Father's Day or address Father's Day, but I do want to say this, as I've already said it this morning. I want to say to the fathers, I want to say Happy Father's Day, but the effort of this morning will be upon God the Father, amen? And so I want to, and that's always where the effort ought to be, but I want to maybe remind us of some things that we already know. I know we come to church every week to be reminded of things we already know, and that's a good thing. But I do hope to bring maybe some encouragement, maybe to challenge us in some things, some areas that maybe we don't think about as much, but just that you would leave here rejoicing in your Father. Amen? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then it can be a real happy Father's Day. Amen? So, Galatians chapter number 4 and verses 1 through 7, we will start there. And that's what we'll do. We'll start there. We'll be in some other places this morning. The Bible says this right here, Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so let's pray. We'll stop reading there. There's other things that can be read, but I want to get on with it here today. So, Father, we thank You for Your mercies, and we thank You, Father, that with all of those who call upon You and all those who know You personally as Father, You love each and every person in here as if they were the only one alive. And You can do that because You're God, and You're all-powerful, and You're all-knowing, and You're everywhere. And we thank You so much for that. And we thank You also that through the fairest Lord Jesus, we could come to the place of being adopted as the children of God. And so now, Father, I ask if You would empty me of self and sin. And I just want to thank You. I want to thank You, God the Father, that we can indeed call You God the Father. Lord, You are our Father through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, if there be any in here today who, Lord, they may know a lot about You, but don't know You as Father, that today would be the day that they come to know You. Today would be the day that they would receive the forgiveness of sins and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and You as their Father. And God, for the most part, the folks that are in here this morning profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that in some way that we can be built up on our most holy faith and reminded that You are indeed our Father. And You use this time and be glorified in it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? There's many definitions. There's many concepts of what people believe Christian is. Many people believe that Christians are people that attend church and do religious things, such as maybe sing in a choir or give money, or maybe they've been baptized, or they do religious stuff. Many people say, well, that's what a Christian is. Some would say a Christian is a person who is a follower of Christ, and I certainly like that definition a lot better than the first one, because the first one is works related, but certainly a Christian would be a follower of Christ. But the best definition that I've ever heard as given as to what a Christian is, I want to share that definition with you, and that is this: a Christian is one, and this definition does not apply to everyone, all right? A Christian is one who has God as his or her Father. That's what a Christian is. A Christian in truth is someone who has come to know God personally as Father. They don't know about God the Father. They actually know God the Father. They don't know about Jesus can save. They actually have experienced the salvation that comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now understand this, because that is true, that can't be said for everyone. So everyone can't call God the Father because He's not everyone's Father. All right? Everyone can't call Him Father. Everyone has not met Him. Everyone has not come to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us, let me say this, we find nowhere in the Bible that everyone is the children of God, that everyone is a child of God. Now, I know every person in here has probably been to a funeral, or you've been to somebody's homegoing service, or whatever the case may be, and or maybe you get into a religious conversation and someone hauls off and says, well, we all the children of God. Maybe you've heard that before. I've heard that many times before. There's only one problem with that. It's just not true. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 3:10, the Bible makes a clear distinction that there are children of God and children of the devil. So everybody can't be a child of God if there's children of the devil. Everybody understand that? But today is Father's Day, and what we really want to do with the, I hope to be able to exhort and to exalt the Father and maybe encourage us in some things, amen. But this idea that all are children of God is found nowhere in the Bible. The Bible tells us that God is only the Father of those who have knowingly, who know themselves to be sinners and have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for their sins. Listen, everyone does not have that testimony, and because everyone does not have that testimony, everyone cannot call God Father. You may be religious, you may be a churchgoer, you may even be a good person, but until you have believed on the Son for everlasting life, you cannot call God your Father in truth. You haven't come. Well, I grew up in the church, and my mom was involved in church, and my dad, he was a preacher, and we sang in the choir. All that is fine, doesn't make God your Father. All that is fine, it just doesn't make God your Father. So I want to deal a little bit this morning with sonship, because as I mentioned earlier, everyone in here is not a father. All right? But the one thing that we can all have in common is this. We can all be sons and daughters of God, the Father. All right? So sonship to God is not a universal status. In other words, the children of God, that's not a universal thing that God just looks down and says, okay, these are all my children. No, that's not how God looks down and sees mankind, okay? So this is not a universal status into which everyone enters into by natural birth, all right? But we enter into the sonship by supernatural birth, which comes when one receives the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, He tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 1:12, He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We cannot become a son of God until we have believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Right? Now, a person's understanding of Christianity, understand this, may be determined. Now, I want to speak to the brothers and sisters here this morning. A person's understanding of Christianity may be determined by how one talks of God the Father. Can I just say this? And I'm not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip, and I put myself in the same shoes as the statement that I'm going to say to you this morning. We don't talk about the Father like we ought to. We know the Lord. We know God. Aren't they all the same? Yes, they're all the same, but do you understand that Jesus specifically came to reveal Father to us? The one relationship that He came to reveal. Listen, God the Creator and God the Father, He's one God, but He is the Creator. But But the Creator and the Father, two different roles. Do we understand that? And what our understanding or someone's understanding of Christianity really can be greatly determined by how much they make of the Father. How much do we make? What do you mean? How much do we make of the Father? How much do we make of the Father? You see, as children, we should make a big deal of God, our Father. I said, as children, we should make a big deal of God, our Father. Now, this thought of God being our Father should control our worship. It should control our prayer. It should dictate our outlook on life as a whole. Father, listen to me this morning, is the Christian name for God. As you said, Father is the Christian name for God. Father is. Now, as I mentioned, I hope that today is really a happy Father's Day for you on the basis that God is actually your Father. Yeah. Amen? If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, now this is, listen, if you haven't been saved, God's not your Father. As a matter of fact, God's your judge. If you hadn't been saved, you're a convict on death row. And it's not a matter of if you're going to die, it's just a matter of when you're going to die. But if God is your Father, you have been forgiven. You've received comfort. You've received acceptance. You've received love. Amen? Now, I want to look at a quick contrast between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. And we who know better know that that's the same God. But when you read the Old Testament, you cannot help but to see this right here. The focus of the Old Testament is this. Man is sinful and God is holy. You cannot help but to see that when you read your Old Testament scriptures. You understand that? Not only is man sinful and God holy, but God hates and does not tolerate sin. All right? And when those in the Old Testament approach God, great pains are taken as to not offend His holiness. You look at the sacrificial system. You look at everything. God is holy. Amen? And so great pains must be taken to approach this holy God. Now, when we get into the New Testament, all of those things in the Old Testament about the fact that man is sinful, where we get that at, and that God is holy. Listen, it doesn't change in the New Testament. It is still true, but we have a revelation of the name of Father, which communicates to us this. We can approach boldly through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse number 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And now this God who seemingly, listen to me, who seemingly was difficult and hard to approach. I mean, you remember if the high priest went into the holies of holies and he wasn't right, they had a rope attached to his leg. He would be struck dead and they would be pulling him out of the presence of God. Do you understand that? But Jesus is our new and living way, and we can approach God boldly and with confidence because Jesus has made it open to us. And the focus is not so much, oh, I'm a sinful person and God is holy. Those things are true. We don't want, listen, God's still not your homeboy. God's still not your friend. God's still not somebody that we kick it with. But He is our Father, and He is absolutely approachable on the merits of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened up the veil and who has allowed you and me to freely and boldly and confidently enter into His presence and speak and commune with our Father. That's who God is. The Bible says it like this in Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 22. Having therefore, listen, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. No one could enter into the holiest of holies except for the high priest in the Old Testament. And if he went in there half step and it was over. But now, because of what Jesus has done, we have a new and living way. That's what the Bible says. Which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Jesus made a way for us to the Father through His flesh. Amen? Through His body. That body broken on that cross and that blood shed. The Bible says, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Listen to this. In full assurance of faith. We don't have to cringe into the presence of God. We don't have to be scared when we go and talk to God. We don't have to wonder, is He going to strike me down? Jesus paid it all. Jesus opened up the way. And I can come and talk with my Father. I'm just simply saying this morning, brothers and sisters, we don't make a big deal of God the Father as we ought to. And listen, we suffer for it. I said, you and I suffer for it. This Father's like, I want to lift up the Father if I can as best, and I probably won't do Him justice. But if you would just leave here thinking, you know what? God is my Father. God is my Father. Yes, He is my Lord and He is God and He's all of those things. But listen, how often do we think of God, our Father? How often do we think of God, our Father? Just think about that. And what does that mean? And hopefully we'll be reminded and look at some things. But I love this right here. God is actually your Father. This is not some imaginary thing. He is actually the Father of those who come to Him through Jesus Christ. He is actually your Father. And that is the heart of the whole New Testament message. God is your Father. Now, I understand this. I called the man this morning who I wished Happy Father's Day. I called him and I told him Happy Father's Day. This man was not my father, but he tucked me in like a child. For a part in my life, for a very sensitive time in my life. As a matter of fact, I met my father maybe almost 20 years ago now. I met my father. And we buried my father just maybe last year. But I never really knew him as father. Now, I say all that to say this. We've all got different backgrounds in here. And maybe some of you got to grow up in a home where you had a father who... Listen, who made it easier to understand the revelation of the Father? Maybe you grew up in a home like that, all right? But for me, and maybe for a handful of you in here, your earthly father, he may have been inadequate in the way of showing you God the Father, or he may have just been absent altogether, all right? But the point that I'm making is this. It does not mean, no matter what your background is, it does not mean that you and I cannot have a grasp of God the Father, because He hasn't left Himself without a witness. Amen. Amen? And everybody understand that? So whatever your background is, however you grew up, however your earthly father was or is, or whatever the case may be, and whatever your background was, we don't have to speculate about our Heavenly Father. Amen? We don't have to know. No matter your upbringing or background, listen, this is great, because listen, He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures. And what do we find about God the Father? Can I just remind us of some things? We find that, listen, He loves and cares for us. We find that, listen, He is generous and thoughtful towards us. I'm talking about God the Father, amen? I'm talking about that in the world that we live in, and maybe some of you have experienced this, maybe Dad wasn't there to provide for you like Dad should have. That won't ever be true with God the Father. Everybody understand that? Maybe there are times where Dad just wasn't there, period. That will never be true with God the Father. Everybody understand that? There may have been times where, man, you thought, well, dads and moms should be loving, and man, I didn't really experience love from our dad. That will never be true from God, your Father. Amen. That will never be true. And we praise God for that. This is the revelation of the Father. Think about this. God is generous. God the Father is generous towards you. He doesn't barely let you get by. He's your Father. He's thoughtful, interested in all that you do. What do you mean? Got all the hairs on your head numbered. I'm just saying He's interested in His children, amen? He's interested in His children. Listen, He respects your individuality. What do you mean by that? This just hit me. Some parents have maybe wanted their kids to maybe take a certain course of life, not even caring about how the kid was made up. Not so with God the Father. I said God the Father understands you and understands how He designed you. Amen? He respects our individuality. You understand what I mean by that, right? I'm not saying that He just allows us to do anything and everything that we want to do, but He knows how He made us. He knows how He made us. And He is skillful in training us. Sometimes maybe our earthly parents didn't exercise the best skill in training us. And sometimes we've taken those same things and passed them on with our own children, right? I'm just simply saying, not so with God. He is skillful in how he is trains his children. Isn't that right? Yep. He is wise in guiding us. Listen, he's always available, amen. He helps us to find ourselves in maturity, integrity, and uprightness. And as I mentioned, our earthly fathers may not have given us much in the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, but we are not left to speculate what our Heavenly Father is like. Now let me say this about sonship. You say, what do you mean sonship? The fact that we're children of God, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Listen, the ultimate gift and display of God's love is that He allows you and me to be His sons and daughters. That's the ultimate gift. In other words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that is great, isn't it?
Amen.
But how great is it if we can't benefit from it? Right? So the ultimate gift of God's love, the ultimate manifestation is this right here. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you are actually a son or a daughter of God. That's the ultimate gift of His love. Amen? Paul says this in Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says that right there. Listen, sonship is the greatest demonstration of love to the Father. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father." He says, if we love those things, we don't love the Father. So listen, the greatest demonstration of love to the Father is expressed in the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. Amen? Now, I'm going through some of these things. I've got 1,000 scriptures, and if we stop and open up every one, we'll be here. Even if you don't open them, we'll be here. I understand that. I heard that. But listen to me. The greatest demonstration of sonship is love to the Father and love to each other as brothers and sisters. Amen? The principle of sonship is love. The practice of sonship, these are just some things that we have, is fellowship with the Father. In other words, these are some things that ought to be a part of our lives as children of God. We ought to desire fellowship with the Father. One of the evidences of sonship is this. We want to live righteous and we want to avoid sin. The hope of sonship is this right here. We're going to see Jesus just like He is. We're going to see Him for who He is one day, amen? And the Bible says, every man that hath this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. So listen, the very hope of sonship, and we're not talking about a 50-50 hope. We're talking about a no-so hope. We're talking about, listen, you and I, because we are children of God, we can expect to look like Jesus fully one day. That is a promise. And although we fall and stumble and fail and go backwards and sin and don't think right all the time and don't do right all the time, the promise, because God is your Father, is this: you are going to perfectly look like the Son one day.
Amen.
And the Bible says, "And he that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So if I believe that God is going to conform and that He is conforming me into the image of His Son, then one of the ways I'm going to demonstrate that I believe that is that I'm going to live holy up in this earth right now. Right, I said right now. I said being conformed to the image of Christ is not something that will be realized when I hit heaven. If it is a reality, it's something that God the Father is doing in me right now. Right now. Right now. Amen? Now if you say amen, we can move on. If you don't, we'll have to start over. Because we ain't even got to the preaching yet. Listen, I've got 12 pages of just introductory notes here. That's right. I'm trying to get 2 planes off the ground this morning. They're loaded. Loaded with goods. Amen. But look at this. What did the fatherhood of God mean to Jesus? Now, here, we read this stuff all the time. We just don't think about it. What did the fatherhood of God mean to Jesus the Son? All you have to do is go to the Gospels, right? What did the fatherhood of God mean to Jesus the Son? And what does it mean for those who can truly be called Christian? What are the implications of God being our Father? Well, look here. Go ahead and turn to John's Gospel. We'll be there for a minute, I guess. Maybe. John's Gospel. John's Gospel. John chapter number 6. Yes, St. John, it says it there in some of your Bibles. Yes, St. John. That's fine. What did it mean for Jesus for God to be His Father? Because that's a relationship that He came to reveal to us. Everybody understand that? That He was a Son. Now, what does it mean? Look at here in John 6 and verse number 38. The Bible says this, "For I came down from heaven." Look at what Jesus says. "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will." Everybody see that? "But the will of Him that sent me." And then verse number 39. "And this is the what? Father's will." Here's what it meant for Jesus to be Jesus to be the Son of God. It meant that He was submitted to God's authority. He says, I came from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. He came to do the Father's will. Look at John 5:20. Look at John 5:20. John 5:20. Jesus received affection from the Father. Look at what it says. The Bible says this right here. "For the Father," what? "Loveth the Son." All right? Isn't that what it says? "And showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." So we see Jesus as the Son of God. As the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, He submitted to the authority of the Father. He received affection. He received love from the Father. Listen, He was in constant fellowship with the Father. Look at John 16. John 16, I'm just going to read some of these. I know you know these passages of Scriptures. If you're in the Gospels, you've read these, you've read through these, and you know these. But look at John 16 in verse number 27. The Bible says this right here. "For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved Me, and have believed that I came from Him." I meant John 16:32. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave Me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is," what? "With Me." What are you saying, Jesus? You may leave Me and be scattered, but I enjoy fellowship with the Father. Amen? Amen? "And then honor by the Father." Look at John 17 in verse number 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee." Hey, listen to me, church. I could give you scripture after scripture, but listen to me. That's what it meant for Jesus as the Son of God. Now, you and I as children of God, we experience those same things. Can I just say some things that you already know? As children of God, we should obey God's authority. Just like the Son obeyed God's authority. Amen? Everybody understand that right there? That's 1 John 5 verses 1 and 3. We're not going to read it, but it's there. You've read this before. Okay? As sons of God, you know we're loved by the Father. We just read that in John 16:20. You're loved by the Father as His child. Amen? Just like Jesus, loved by the Father. Amen? As sons, we enjoy fellowship with God. Remember, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. This is the record. All right? But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Listen, as a son of God, you have fellowship with your Father. Amen. And as the sons of God, we're going to share in that glory that God the Son, God the Father, put on Jesus. We're going to share in that glory and enjoy that glory. Look at John 17:24. I want to read that to you. The Bible says this right here. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My" what? "Glory." Listen to me. All I'm saying is this. This is what it meant for Jesus to be the eternal Son of God, and through Jesus Christ, as we've come to know God as our Father, then listen, it's just, we ought to obey His authority, amen? We are loved by the Father. We enjoy fellowship with the Father. The Father will honor us, and we will share in the same glory as the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, if I can say this, hey, the day that you were saved is the day that you had your true Father's day.
Amen.
I said the day that you were born again by the Spirit of God was the day that you had your true Father's day. If you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, you can't call God your Father. You haven't had that Father's day. Amen? But I've talked about this word. I mentioned it. Adoption. Adoption. Because that's what took place with you and me when you were saved. You were adopted. I love the laws concerning adoption and the laws that they have concerning adoption. They get the language right from the scriptures. I love it. I love the concept. You know, once someone is adopted, they can never be disinherited by the family that adopts them.
Amen. Woo! Amen.
Now, some of you won't get that the next week, but listen. I'm just simply saying, listen, the word adoption means this. It means to be taken into the number as a son. That's what the word means. It means that to be taken into the number, that means that to be adopted by God, God now counts you as a son.
Amen.
Amen? Resulting in this, the enjoying of the liberties and privileges of the children of God, which include but are not limited to. Let me just give you some things. You now bear God's name. Amen? Listen. You also have the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. We read that in the book of Galatians. The spirit of adoption moved into you, the Holy Spirit of God, which leads you to cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a term of endearment. It's a term of closeness. Abba, Father. Listen, you have access to the throne of grace with boldness. Because God is your Father, you receive pity from God. Amen? You receive protection and provision from God. But because He's your Father, you also receive chastisement from Him. I say chastisement is a blessing. It's a gift from the Father. Amen. Listen, as a child of God, you have the assurance of never being cast off. That's what I love about adoption. Once you're in, you can't be unadopted. I like that real good. Why? Because you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Listen, salvation, that idea of losing your salvation, that's stopped up. It ain't going nowhere. You belong to God. Amen. I'm talking about this is all that's communicated in adoption. Amen. Listen, you inherit the promises of God and you're an heir of everlasting salvation. All that is God's in the Lord Jesus Christ is yours through adoption. Now, that's a pretty sweet deal to me. I love the fact. Listen, you don't have to walk a day around here wondering. You know, did I disappoint the Father? Does the Father want to put me out of the family? Now, you may have some of your family members want to put you out of the family. But God, your Father, He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And all that comes unto me by the Father, I will in no wise cast out. I mean, you're stuck. I like it, though. I said, you're stuck. Let me just give you the Bible and the doctrine of justification, you can't miss it. It's all over the Bible. All right? What does justification communicate to you and me? Now, we're talking about adoption. I just want you to get something here. I want to make a statement. I want to share some things with you. Justification deals with this. It deals with a judge and a convict. All right? In other words, God is judge and you were the convict. And you broke the law. And the penalty for breaking the law is death, except somebody could pay your fine. So, Jesus paid your fine so that you could be justified. It's not that you and I did not sin. It's just that our sin, if you're a child of God, if you've been justified, your sin has been adequately paid for. And that adequacy comes only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now you just picture a court case with me where a judge has... basically, you've got this criminal standing before this judge, and the judge says guilty and says that there's a fine to be paid. Now, you think about this. You think about that judge receiving a payment on behalf of this criminal, or even making the payment himself so that this criminal could be justified of the crime that he's committed. And then that same judge, listen to me, that same judge turns around and says, you know what? Not only have I justified you as a criminal, but you know, I'd like to make you one of my sons. When's that ever happened in court? That's never happened in court. I'd like to make you one of my sons and give you all the privileges of being in my family, never to be disowned, to enjoy the security and benefits of being in my family, whatever that judge's family is, whatever he has to offer. But listen to me, we know that's never happened in court, probably never will happen in court, but that's exactly what happened on the day that God saved you. Listen to me. your judge became your justifier.
Hallelujah.
Your creator became your father.
Yeah.
And your savior became your brother.
Hallelujah.
That's adoption.
Wow.
That's adoption. You understand that? Do you understand how adoption is greater than justification? What do you mean by that? Because see, you can be justified in a legal sense, but still not experience the closeness and love in a situation where you've been justified. But if you've been adopted, this is why this is the greatest demonstration. See, the greatest demonstration of God's love is not so much justification as it is adoption. You see? Because your sins could be taken care of, and you could be free and have a cold relationship with God, but not with adoption.
Yeah.
Adoption says you're close. Adoption says you're dear. Adoption says I love you. See, that adoption is family language. Justification is law language. Adoption is family language. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Do you get it? Listen, it's one thing to be clean with the judge. It's another thing to be adopted by the Father. You see that? You understand that? Listen, I'm just saying, hey, if you are saved in here today, you ought to have a real happy Father's Day, man.
Amen.
Real happy Father's Day. You've been born again and you can understand what's going on here. That, listen, adoption says I love you. Adoption says you're mine. Adoption says I'm going to provide for you. Adoption says I pledge my life to take care of you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Justification says you're off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But where does that lead you?
Right.
Amen? Adoption says you're mine.
Yeah.
Yep. God takes you and me into His family and fellowship, establishing you and me as not only children, but as heirs. He adopts us and then we benefit from His estate. And just in case you're wondering just how rich God is, amen, we benefit. We experience His closeness. We experience His affection. We experience His generosity. Now, I want to say this just by way of an application. Oftentimes, you and me are guilty of this right here. Oftentimes. Now, we understand you've been adopted. Right? But because we don't live with that reality, this is how some of your week went this week. This is how some of the days of your week went this week, and not only this week, but weeks before that. This is how it went. You aimlessly wandered about, depressed over something, and stressed out over something, and hopelessly dragged about by some circumstance that you didn't have any control over, right? And listen, from one circumstance to another. Listen to me. Insecure about this, and insecure about that. Listen, I know I'm talking to some of you. Some of your week was just like that. Hopeless, depressed. Man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Sick in the head, and then your life looks sick. Why? Because you haven't thought on the fact that God is your Father. And because He's your Father, everything's going to be fine on earth, and everything's going to be fine in eternity. Did you hear what I said? Listen, you know why we get so messed up? Because while these things are true, we're not thinking about them. Yeah, listen, this is why we don't make much of the Father that we ought to make of Him. That's the whole point that I'm making. We don't make much of the Father, and because we don't make much of the Father, hey, we don't even know who to go to when crisis hits our life. Can I just say this, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way? We go to God, do we go to the Father? Don't call me a heretic after this, but do you get the distinction that I'm making?
Yes.
We go to God, but do we go to our Father? Because that's who He's revealed Himself to be.
Yeah.
Amen? See, listen, God the Creator. Now, you know I'm not talking about two different persons. Everybody understand that here. God the Creator does not communicate to us the closeness of God the Father, does not communicate to us the intimacy of God the Father. And wait a minute. why are our prayers so short, and why do we give up so easy? Because maybe an impersonal creator doesn't really hear our prayers. But what if I thought that my Father always hears my prayers? I mean, how much more would I pray? How much fervent would I pray if I thought I'm praying to my Father? You understand I'm not making a distinction in that there's God in the... You understand that, so please don't call me a heretic after this is over with. We understand that there's one God. We understand that He has revealed Himself as Creator and as Father, but specifically, Jesus came to reveal Father to you and to me. That's the thrust of the whole New Testament message, and we run around here with our heads cut off going crazy because we have not thought about God the Father. It's amazing how many people have concluded they don't think God can help them. I wonder about the Father. I wonder how many of us have more respect for our earthly fathers than we do our heavenly Father. I wonder what we're teaching our children concerning the Father. Right? We need to think. I'm just saying, it can really be a happy Father's Day every day if we just think upon the Father. The Father. Amen? God the Father. As I mentioned, adoption is a family concept. Amen? It communicates love. God is our Father. That's who He is. Now, let me just make a few applications and just go on. And we're done. We really will be. Is that right? Is it really 11:45? Is that really right? This is a miracle. This is a miracle. Your food won't burn up on the stove after all in the crock. Now this is great. We're landing the plane. Okay, maybe we're not landing the plane. Maybe we stop for some cheese and crackers or something. I don't really know it. Church, think about this. Adoption, I'm just making some applications here. Adoption is the basis for the Christian life. It's the basis for the whole Christian life. In other words, the fact that we are sons and daughters should control our every thought and action. I know. Listen. I know that's not true for me. But it ought to be. I said when whatever happened in your day happened, I'm God's child. I know my Father knows best. I know He didn't let this come into my life just to do something to me. My Father only does what is best for me. Now that doesn't... I know that. I know we didn't think that like we should have thought that this week. Here we go again. Well, every time I turn around, I'd be like, well, just stop turning around. I mean, I'd just be like that right there, whatever case may be. You know what I'm saying? Stop turning around. You see what I'm saying? But listen to me. I want to just quote some scriptures to you this morning. Mark 3:35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. Look whose Jesus' spiritual family was. Those who did the will of the Father. Not even His own flesh and blood. But those who did the will of the Father. You see, Jesus as the Son of God, this is a point I want to make. Jesus as the Son of God always thought of His followers as children of the Heavenly Father. Now listen, you read this all. Have you read through your Gospel recently? You've read this already. You read this right in your Gospel. We read over this, but listen, Jesus Himself thought, you know what? He thought that His followers, Jesus thought of His disciples as children of His Heavenly Father. That's how Jesus thinks about you. That's how He thinks about me. That we're children of His Heavenly Father. Listen, and that we are members of the same divine family. Now, isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. We're His brothers, sisters, and mothers. Matthew 28:9-10. This was after He rose from the dead, after His resurrection, and after they had miserably failed Him. This is the instruction that Jesus gives in Matthew 28:9-10. The Bible says this: Then said Jesus unto them, talking to the ladies who had met Him there at the tomb there, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren, after they had miserably failed Him. They didn't get put out of the family. He said, go tell my brethren. What do you mean? That means that they're children of God the Father because they're my brothers. Amen. Listen, all Jesus wants you and me to think about, you're a child of God. God is actually your Father. Jesus is actually your brother. He says, go tell my brother, go tell him to meet me where I told him to meet me before I even died. I know they got the tails tucked right now and they're scared, but just go tell them to meet me in Galilee because that's where I'm going to meet my brothers at. That's what he said. But the point is this. He says that you are a member of the divine family. John 20 verses 17 and 18, then Jesus said unto her, he says, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren once again and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. He said, God is my Father, but God is your Father. I'm getting ready to go back up to my Father, who is also your Father.
Yeah.
And to my God and to your God. Hebrews 2 verses 12 and 13 says this, saying, I will declare thy name, this is Jesus saying, I'm going to declare the name of the Father, listen, unto my brethren. Amen? In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Listen, as mentioned, our Maker became our Father, and our Savior became our brother when we came into the family of God. Amen? Now listen, when the last amen is said, you need to think about that. This needs to be the basis of your life. Now listen, Christian conduct is given in family terms. Go ahead and turn to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 5. We're working really good. We're working really good. Go ahead and turn there. God is your Father. Because that is true, look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at what it says in verse number 44. The Bible says this in Matthew 5 and verse number 44. The Bible says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, look at this here. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your who? Father, which is in heaven. You see that? For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, if you read this passage and you're not careful, you may think that you got to work to be a child of God. But what he's saying is that these are evidences that, because listen, this is supernatural stuff right here. Amen?
Yeah.
But if God is my Father and His Spirit has come into me, amen,
yeah,
which allows me to cry, Abba, Father, then I should be an imitator of the Father, and the Father does good to people that do Him evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we imitate the Father, we ought to do good to people that do evil to us.
Right.
All right? Not so much so that we can be the children of God, but because we are the children of God. We ought to imitate the Father. In other words, you know that passage of Scripture in Leviticus and that passage of Scripture in Peter that says, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is what he's saying right here in the Sermon on the Mount, except in family terms. It's holy to be good to those who do evil to you. Amen. God says, listen, I'll let it rain and sun on the unjust. And you ought to imitate your Father. Amen? That's what he says. Listen. This is the basis of Christian conduct. All right? We should glorify the Father. Look at 5 in verse number 16. We just passage of Scripture. You're already familiar with it. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. See that? Which is in heaven. Listen. You know what? You know what glorifying the Father is? It really, in this context, it's a public display of the favor and the kindness of God so that men could see that and then they could glorify your Father. It means you having a testimony in this world. Amen.
Yes.
That's what it is. So glorifying the Father. We ought to be glorifying the Father. But Christian conduct ought to be pleasing to the Father as well. All right. Look at Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. He says it like this. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men. You see that right there? to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And we can go on and read that whole thing, but here's the point. Our Father takes notice when we seek to please Him and Him alone. Amen? I said our Father takes notice. That's Christian conduct right there, based off the fact that we've been adopted. Amen? What about our prayer life? Matthew 6, 9. Look here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our what? Father. Our Father. The language is right here. We read over it all the time. The language is right here. Listen, our Father. Isn't it amazing what all of the revelation of the names of God up until this point, He said, address Him as Father? Listen to me. Not that we can't, but He didn't even say address Him as God. He didn't say address Him as Lord. He didn't say address Him as Shepherd. He said address Him as Father. With all of the revelations of God's name. Everybody understand that? But He wants us to understand, listen, you're in the family. God is actually your Father. I'm actually your brother. Your Father hears your prayers. Amen? Your Father hears your prayers. Listen, this ought to greatly enhance our prayer life. The Bible says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. John 11:42, Jesus said this when He prayed to the Father, and I know that thou hearest me always. Wait a minute. You ought to know that He hears you always. Amen? Matthew 7:7-11. Look here. I love this. The Bible says this right here. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, amen, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him. Let me just say this by way of prayer. Our Father oftentimes gives us what we should have asked for instead of what we actually asked for. Because He knows what's best. Amen? But He does it as our Father. As our Father. Remember 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, just to illustrate the statement I just made. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Listen, He asked, take this thorn away. He says, I got something better than taking that thorn away. I'll give you my grace. And sometimes, listen, it just amazes me. The book of Romans says we don't even know what we ought to pray for sometimes. But God, but listen, the Holy Ghost of God knows the mind of God and communicates the will of God. Amen. So even when we go to our Father and have the purest motives that we can have and just don't even know what to ask for, God is still going to give you and me what's best anyway because He is our Father. Now, so adoption should dictate our Christian conduct. It should dictate our prayer life, but it should also dictate our life of faith. Amen. Look here, Matthew chapter number 6. Look at what it says here. Matthew 6:25, the Bible says this right here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father, amen, feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Once again, our life of faith ought to be fueled by the fact that God is our Father. Amen. Look at verses 31. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, once again, knoweth that ye have need of these things. You see that? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, I just want to say, happy Father's Day. But we need to think upon our Father, how good He is to us. Amen. If you're in here this morning, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know God personally as your Savior, I want to say that God has made provision for you to be adopted as a son and to His family through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God's message to you is this morning. If you don't know Christ personally, you need to be saved. God has made provision for you to be saved. But if you're in here this morning, and I suppose most of you are, you're saved. You profess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to say this to you. As a children of God, we need to adequately focus on Him that we may realize, as children of God, what we have and what we are called to be. And so I want to end this by asking us some questions. Being that we are children of God, being that today is Father's Day, and we ought to glorify the Father, can I ask us some questions? Do you understand what it means to be adopted? Do you understand that He has taken you and placed you as a... Listen, He placed you as a full-grown son or daughter into His family. And what that means is that right now you are able to take advantage of the benefits that He has as your Father. Amen? In other words, when you got saved, all that belonged to God became available to you by faith. Amen? Do you value the fact that you're adopted, the fact that you can never lose being adopted? You can never be out of God's family. Do you value what you have? Do you value the family that you're in? Amen? Do you value it? Do you daily dwell on the love of God for you? Because that's what adoption comes down to, is that the greatest expression of God's love is that He would adopt me and make me His own. Amen? That's the greatest thing. Listen, do I treat God as my Father in heaven, loving Him, honoring Him, and obeying Him, seeking and welcoming His fellowship? Because this is what this is all about. And trying in everything to please Him as a human parent would want his child to do. This is what adoption is about. Do I think of Jesus Christ, my Savior, as my Lord, as my brother, too? Not only of my divine authority, but also my divine human sympathizer. You can go to a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows where you are, knows what you're going through. Everybody likes it in their family when they've got that brother or that sister who they can tell anything, right? Well, that's who Jesus is. That's who He is. Listen, do I think daily how close He is to me, how completely He understands me, and how much, as my kinsman redeemer, He cares for me? Talk about your brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have I learned to hate things that displease my Father? Amen? We just want to honor our Father, amen? It's Father's Day. Am I sensitive to evil like He's sensitive to evil? The Father hates evil. And as we bear the image of the Father, we ought to hate evil as well. Amen? Do I make a point to avoid sin lest I grieve my Father? Do I make it a point to avoid sin lest I... These are just some applications. I mean, listen, we've said amen and God is your Father. We can't take that away. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. God is your Father. Listen, does sin grieve us like it grieves Him? Amen? Do I look forward daily to the great family occasion when the children of God will finally gather in heaven before the throne of God, their Father, and of the Lamb, their brother, and their Lord? You think about that? When's the last time you thought, one day I'm going to be in heaven with God the Father and Jesus the Son, my brother? And it's going to be a great time in heaven. No more pain. There's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be perfect fellowship. Amen? And that's going to happen. Do we look forward to that? Or do we think, man, that's all there is what's going on is in this life. Talk to a person like that yesterday. They were lost, but they were for sure that they had to make the decisions that they made because of just how things are in this life. They couldn't make a decision looking forward to life. But listen, sometimes we're not careful and we're not thinking about the Father as we ought to. We'll live for this world and thinking there's really nothing else to it besides this. We don't have to live like that. Listen, do I love my Christian brothers and sisters with whom I live by day to day in a way that I shall not be ashamed of in heaven when I think back over it? Jared said, your brothers and sisters right now, do we get along how we ought to right now? Isn't it a shame
that we don't get along like we should, and God is our Father, right? We ought to get along. Now, am I proud of my father and of his family? I'm not saying that you think they're perfect, but are you proud of them? To which by his grace you belong. Amen? Does the family likeness appear in me? Am I being holy? If not, why not? Amen? May God humble us. May he instruct us. Listen, may he make us his own true children if you've not come to the place of being adopted. But for those adopted, listen to this. I want you to repeat after me, and we're going to close. Say, I'm a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day near. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother too. And a Christian is one who has God as his Father. So we understand that. So Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for a day that's been set aside that we could recognize as Father's Day. And Father, I do want to say happy Father's Day to the men that are fathers indeed. But Lord, I thank you for being my Father. I thank you for saving me. I had nothing to offer to you, and I still won't have anything to offer to you. But you accepted me on the basis of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to say thank you, Father. I pray that you would help me to imitate your ways and to want to fellowship with you, to love and to adore you, that I address you as Father when I go to you in prayer, and that I live a life of faith, understanding that my Father is going to take care of me. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that today, the brothers and sisters here, assemble here this morning, Father, I pray that they would leave here and truly be encouraged and just reminded. And I know, God, that it is, I don't know, maybe in some way kind of sad that we even need to be reminded that you're our Father. But Lord, I know how my mind gets at times. I know how our mind and our hearts can get just out of place. And the world just comes a crashing in. And we lose sight on the truth that you are our Father. And God, I just want to stop and praise you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and my brother. Thank you, God the Father, that heaven is my home. Thank you that I'm going there someday. Thank you that Jesus is my brother and that every Christian is my brother and sister as well. And I just want to thank you, God. Thank you that I've been adopted. Thank you that not only am I not a convict on death row, but I am a child who receives your affection, your love, and your care, your mercies, your pity, your generosity, your provisions, your protection. I thank you that as a child you chastise us. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We bless your holy name. You have mercy upon us. Listen, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, I know there's been a day where I've had a spiritual birthday and I have been born into the family of God. I am a full-fledged, adopted, child of God. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior and my brother. And I know that that has happened. If that is your testimony this morning, would you indicate that by uplifted hands? We're not here to pick on you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Just like I had a physical birthday, I can go back to the day where I had a spiritual birthday, and I know that I had a spiritual birthday, and God became my Father. If that is your testimony, would you indicate that by uplifted hands? You say, I know that. I know that for certain, that God is my Father. I know that for certain. Let me put those hands down. Maybe you're in here and you can't say that God is your Father. You can't say that you've been adopted as a child of God, that you've been born again into God's family. But you say, I don't know that for sure, but I sure would like to know that I can be saved. I sure would like to know that I can be a member of God's family and know that for sure. I don't know that for sure, but I would surely like to know that before I leave here today. Would you indicate that by uplifted hand? You say, I don't know God as my Father, but I would like to know that I can be forgiven for my sins and have God as my Father and Jesus as my Savior and my brother. Anybody in here like that? We're not here to put you on the spot or anything like that. Anybody here? You say, I don't know God as my Father, but I would like to know God as my Father. Would you indicate that just by putting your hand up? Anybody in here? Father, you saw the hearts mostly, mainly. And I pray that if there's anyone in here who's not sure about that, I pray that you would deal in their hearts. You work in their hearts, Father. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for the forgiveness of sins. I ask that you would bless the remainder of this day and you would just be glorified in it. I pray, Lord, that families, as they would leave here today, perhaps if they're able to spend time with their fathers and enjoy their fathers and be a blessing to their fathers and lavish some love upon their fathers and honor, and Lord, certainly that is worthy and acceptable, but I pray that even in the midst of that, we would be dismissed knowing God is our Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you, Father. And we need you. You bless us here this evening, this afternoon, and let us return this evening. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, be back tonight at 5:30. And